Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
4:31 on time. We say good afternoon going out to Chef Spencer. First time meeting Chef Spencer. Of course, you all would have been accustomed to this tasty Tuesday's program. How are you going there, Chef?
Hey, I'm wonderful, man. Good to be here, buddy.
Nice, man. When you say chef, is there a specialty that you do as a chef? You be able to cook everything?
Yeah, I kind of train to cook everything.
Everything?
So yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's not really speciality.
Yeah, man. You know, I was talking earlier on about youths in schools and, you know, and how we need to approach education differently.
Yeah.
I know back in the days they used to teach cooking. I don't know if they used to call it home ed or whatever, but do they still teach cooking in schools? Home economics?
Not like how it used to, because long ago you could have do it as tertiary education. Remember, after school they had in the afternoon, and a lot of great cooks came out of those programs. Yeah. Now they don't have it as they used
to. That's a shame.
Yeah, man.
That's a shame because you start that back, because I believe, you know, that's a way to direct the youth home cooking, well, baking, you know, all these things, culinary arts. It shouldn't be with I saw stuff with the school they had down in
Shagaramas. Yeah, hotel school.
That still exists.
No, it's not. It's not. Unfortunately. Well,
everything good in this country that has just diminished, but that's a good thing, boy.
Yeah, I ran into a youth the other day and I was talking to her and say, you know, you need to aspire and do better. And she said, well, your time was different to my time, you know.
Mm.
And I said, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And She actually told me, well, it was really different. You guys had it easier.
Mm.
And I said to myself, how could we have? But in their eyes, when I walked away, I was kind of thinking, I wonder where she really coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I think I understood she meant that it's very hard for them to kind of have a dream or be inspired, because everybody around them telling them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So to really break away from that bunch, you know. So
yeah.
I'll kind of watch it from her eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you have to come down on the youth level and see where they coming from too, but it's hard out there for them, right? So we're talking fasting today, right? We're talking fasting today. We have a doctor who's going to be coming and joining us. And this has nothing to do with religion. This is just fasting on the whole.
Just fasting on the whole,
Fasting, what is the difference between like fasting and probably dieting? I know you should wait for the doctor to answer that, but fasting and dieting, really.
Yeah, well, this is a difference. When you're fasting, you're really abstaining from really, really certain stuff, and you're having a reason really to do it, you know.
Yeah.
So when the doctor come in, you go down a whole list of why.
Mm.
And then dieting, you know, you're just dieting for a purpose, just to really, sometimes you to get your body right, or just to lose a certain amount of pounds, and you know. So it's just two different things. Most people diet a lot, because I guess every day we always think we dieting because they're trying to stay away from something or the other, you know.
Yeah.
So some or the other, you always are having some kind of abstinence from something, because face it, if we pick out the kind of foods we are today, we can't afford to be eating the way that how society has food going, because most things are just processed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you really want to be concerned of what you put in your body.
Yeah, man. Food, of course, you know, there's very, very expensive food going up every single day compared to back in the days. You as a chef, how does that affect your job?
Yeah, well, definitely affects my job, guys. I am the number one being a restaurateur as well.
Okay.
It affects because, I was talking to a colleague and he said, why don't you make a menu for the week? It's easier. I said, well, I can't kind of do like to do it, because you're going by the inspiration. You open up your fridge and you say, okay, well, I'm going to cook today. So I kind of move like that, because today, like a couple weeks or a couple months ago, pumpkin was almost $20 a pound.
Yeah.
Now it's down to $2 a pound, you know. Uh-huh. So you go with the time, you make the menu according to suit, and you know.
Uh-huh.
And we all, for parents and grandparents, been doing it for years, you know.
Boy.
Surviving under hard times.
Mm. Yeah, boy, times really different. Of course, what we eat is very, very, very important. I mean, your health is your wealth, and part of that is all of what you eat. I've changed a lot of my eating habits. I don't eat too much of meat, like just chicken and fish. I never was into the wild meat and the pork and all those things.
And
all kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
boy.
And even sometimes, still had to abstain from even some of those meats
some of the meat and things.
Yeah, clear out.
I was telling you, we have a show called the Lunchtime Doctor. You know, back in the days, whenever you take a little the vacation, they always say, well, take a purge. Perhaps I tell you, take a little purge and thing, boy. But like, they don't do them things again. Like long time thing, pull them and a womb medicine and a womb, just to clean out the system. you know. That's a clean on the system. So yeah. we are waiting the doctor. We'll take some calls in the meantime. Find out what did you have for lunch today? What did you have for lunch today? As a chef, what did we had for lunch today?
Huh? Yeah, actually had choy noodles, fried rice, pepper shrimp today.
All right. Nice, man. Whoa, big time meal, boy. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Oh, yes. I love it, chef.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
I wonder if I should put you on blast again today.
For what? What are you doing? What do you do, Sunshine?
I know what this is going.
Recipe for wrap for me? You see? You always forget me, clean.
I apologize.
Listen to me. Uh-huh. Now you have to make me apologize. I have this group of young ladies. They want to open a restaurant specializing in gourmet dishes. Okay? You hearing me?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Specializing in gourmet dishes. Uh-huh. Okay, they did very well. They have excellent passes, appropriate passes. Okay, they have their home economics. They have their ICT. They have their business subject economics. They have POA and POB.
Yes,
right?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, so how?
And they want me to ask you for rap. I don't know why.
What you said again? They what?
They want me to tell you, ask you how to make rap. I don't know how to do it.
Oh, the raps. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you did call last week, and I told you I was going to look it up.
No,
here's what.
And you told me, look up the recipe.
Yeah, I no remember. I do apologize. What? I need to fix
will
this.
Will you include up in gourmet dishes?
Yes, you could.
Oh, yeah, I thought so.
Yes, you could.
Yeah, because they did so well, and they want to open up this restaurant.
Yeah, but they should make crepes.
They should make
crepes.
What is that?
Crepes is like a very, how should I say, it's an egg based type wrap, and you more get that crepes in more gourmet type places. You could mix sweet crepes or savory crepes. So I think crepes is the best way to go, just wraps.
And they save up their little money to rent a place already.
Congratulations.
I don't want to disappoint them. They did so well in their subject.
Just make sure when you open, I could be there, right?
You want to be there?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, the launching. What is your name again?
I'm Sean Spencer.
Sean Spencer.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, yes.
Okay, take care.
Awesome.
All right, that was... a very good friend there, Sunshine. What advice you have for people wanting to open up a restaurant? What advice?
Yeah, well, restaurants is. I mean, I always wanted to open my restaurant. So people out there who really want to open their own, I mean, you just had to stick with your plan, stick with your guts, know what you want to do. I mean, it's very difficult, obviously, but make sure that first thing I just always say, you have a menu. And once you have a menu, you know where you want to cook, then you could build everything from around that. You know, without the menu, you don't know what equipments to buy or how to move. You know, so just keep the faith and just stay strong as possible. Restaurants are one thing I recognize with restaurants. You know, when I was a chef, you know, working for somebody, you just 8 hours and you're good. But restaurant is not just 8 hours; it's 24 hours, so it's round the clock.
Right, okay, so the doctor has just joined us. Woo, nice. Asante LeBlanc, Dr. LeBlanc. Dr. LeBlanc, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay, fine. Chef Spencer?
Hello, doctor.
Hi, Chef Spencer. Hey. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good to have you, man. Good to have you. And, was looking forward for this week because fasting has been on my mind for a while now.
That's good, I guess.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so we have some questions.
read her bio.
Oh, her bio, yes, okay. Let's get into her bio. Okay, of course, Dr. Asante LeBlanc is Cuban-born Guyanese mother of five, a wife, a doctor, clinical and medical herbalist. One of her passions is to help. Oh yes, yeah, that would got me there, doctor. All right, okay. And medical herbalist. One of her passions is to help guide individuals on their road to optimum health. So in her practice, she integrates complementary traditional medicine with conventional Western medicine. Also, after losing her grandmother to cancer, she decided to do something more for persons affected by this terrible disease. So she began working with the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society, where she is currently the chairwoman of this country's longest standing NGOs. She is the face and voice of the organization working to change the landscape of the cancer screening and education in TNT. One of her many goals is to promote a healthy lifestyle and healing using Eastern and Western medicine. She loves reading, listening to music, dancing, and just being around her family and friends. And if you know her, she loves to laugh, as we can hear. All right, so that was an introduction to you there, doctor.
I tell you, thank you very much. Nice.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yes, doc. So I want to just jump right into it because I kind of excited. So I want you to explain to me, what is fasting and why do we really fast?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess, you know, this it goes different ways. So fasting is usually restricting food and liquids for a certain period of time, right? From your diet, right? Uh-huh. So it's important to understand, okay, so there's a medical reason for fasting. So for example, if we're doing medical testing, we need you to fast because then we would get a good picture of, for example, your cholesterol levels, your blood sugar levels, and some other tests that require the kids require you to be fasting, right?
Yeah.
And usually those periods are only 12 hours, right?
Yeah.
So that's the medical reason for fasting. Then, of course, we go to you're going to have an operation, right? You have to fast because if you're going to go and put anesthetic on a patient and they're fasting and they're not fasting, there's some complications that can occur. So those are clinical medical reasons that we ask people to fast, right?
Yeah.
Now, the fasting that I think you're most interested in is the intermittent fasting and the fasting that people just, you know, sometimes people fast for spiritual reasons as well.
Yeah.
Right? So when it comes to spiritual fasting, I really don't want to upset anyone, but most of spiritual fasting has to deal with clarity, sacrifice, and getting closer to your spiritual being, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Mama, not a priest, right?
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to that a good set of popularity a couple of years back, because all of us are selectively plump and we want to lose weight, right?
Yeah, because we actually started the show early on by asking the question, what's the difference between fasting and dieting? So we are kind of preempted that question.
Oh, there you go. Right. So there's a huge difference, uh-huh, right? Because with, for example, fasting, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, y'all made me go and do research, right?
Yeah.
Because nobody say, Dr. LeBlanc say you must fast, right?
Uh-huh.
So let's off by saying that this information does not replace your visit to your physician.
Yeah.
Right? Please speak to your physician. Before anyone decides to do fasting, they should get a good checkup and speak to their doctor, right?
Yeah.
Now, I can tell you that fasting is not for everyone, but those who fast and successfully do refer, and there is scientific evidence where they feel a lot better, holistically speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah? Where they feel more mentally clear, they feel, you know, well, they lose weight sometimes, they feel more active, energy levels increase.
But why is it so difficult then to fast? Why does that, like, if it, because...
Do we advocate that you fast?
No, nobody will really advocate for that. unless you're, I guess, in some sort of religious...
Or there's some kind of illness or something, sometimes, you know?
You don't really do that.
But you know, somebody could be, okay, so like, let's use me, right? Because I always prefer my business out there. I'm selectively plump, right? So I'm a little overweight and I want to lose weight, right? I have tried intermittent fasting and I have tried other methods of weight
loss. Just now, Doc, you use a word that a lot of people may not understand. What's intermittent fasting?
Right, so intermittent fasting, it's actually from ancient Ayurvedic medicine and Indian lifestyle. So this is, you, for example, will fast for about 12 hours or 18 hours, right? And then you eat the rest of those hours. You understand?
Yeah.
Your body to a state of, so, okay, let's think of, if you stop eating, right? Your is what will dictate what processes occur in your body to produce glucose, right? Because your body can only work on glucose, right?
Yeah.
For the energy function. So let's say you, Chef Spencer, right?
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes, you are.
Right. Okay. So I can't see you, so I don't know if you're selectively plump. So let's say that you decided to fast, like, let's say from tonight, right? From 6 o'clock. And you take in a 12, let's say an 18-hour fast. So your brain, after a couple of hours, is going to tell your body, well, where's the glucose? I need glucose for this man to live, because your brain has to govern.
Yeah, my brain definitely going to ask me for a double shot of glucose.
So the brain is going to say to the liver, yo, I need energy. The liver is then, after we use up all our carbohydrate stores in our body, including glycogen, then the brain goes, okay, well, where's the next source coming from? And the liver then goes to do a process called gluconeogenesis, which is producing glucose from something other than glucose. So it goes for fats,
okay.
It has to break down fats.
Yeah.
After it breaks all the fat stores in the body, then it says, okay, well, we're going to the proteins now, which means your muscle mass, right?
Oh, okay, got you.
Process for your brain to get glucose and fuel for it to work, right?
Yeah.
So if says, I'm going to intermittent fast, the hope is that they will get to the point of depletion of fat, so cutting down fat, lipolysis, and then you start to eat. So you have confused the body. So the body says, oh, shucks, we broke down fat. So you lost some fat, right?
Yeah.
And then you brought back in your carbohydrates, your fats, and your protein. So you have not depleted your muscle mass. And therefore, you're losing more fat percentage of your body, and therefore, hopefully, will lose weight.
Okay.
You understand?
I understand. You went a whole long way there, but I got it.
But I'm happy with it, you know.
Yeah.
Because sometimes persons think, I want to lose weight, so I'm going to restrict how many calories I put in my body. But by doing that, I'm going to eat one meal a day.
So you're trying to tell me, for my brain to understand, you're trying to tell me that I kind of shock in my body.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're shocking your body, but I want people to understand. If, for example, I have patients who think, okay, I get up, I don't feel for breakfast, so I'm not going to eat breakfast. And then I may not want lunch, and then I'm going to have a dinner, right? Yeah. But what happens in those situations, your brain is saying to your body, Chef Spencer is not eating properly, therefore he's in starvation.
Yeah, but when that time come around, then you're looking to put anything in because, and you might end up putting the wrong thing in.
Because the brain says to the body, whatever you get, store it.
Feed me.
Because fat has more calories per gram. Okay. You understand?
I got it.
So then it goes into a fake starvation, and then you gain weight, and you want to know why you're gaining weight when you're only eating one meal a day.
Wow.
You understand?
Yeah, because that body actually really stores that fat for a long time. It seemed that way and why is it wrong? Like, you could be losing weight and stuff, and around your gut area is one of the hardest. You don't seem to lose that. I mean, does fasting help in that era?
So let's understand, to lose the belly fat, right?
Yeah.
So that involves the hormone of cortisol as well. You understand?
Uh-huh.
So different hormonal changes our age, our body type. But when our body is under a lot of stress or in fight or flight for extended periods of time, cortisol is one of the hormones that will be released. And cortisol will promote storage of belly fat.
Okay, got you. Understood. Yeah. So the storage around this day stays a little longer. Yeah. So does fasting like everyone is could allow to fast with the doctor? I mean, you have to take a doctor checkup, you said, first to begin with. But I mean, this it's widely
advocate for someone because it's important. If you're a diabetic, for example, you hearing me?
Yeah, hearing you now.
Yeah. Okay. If you're diabetic and you go on fast without speaking to your doctor, you don't know what state your diabetes was in before you started to fast.
Oh, wow, that's a serious issue.
Exactly. Suppose you didn't know you were diabetic and you fasted and something went wrong and you didn't understand why. Yeah. But no, you do need a doctor's checkup to know your baseline, to know your stats, know your fasting blood sugar, know your blood pressure, know how your body is feeling, how your heart is going, before you put it under any kind of fasting stress.
Not dealing with this question too much, but when fasting, do you feel the need, or do people feel the need to be a little more spiritual? You don't have to deal with it too much, but does it kind of feel that need, that you feel that you need to cleanse someone, you know, something, or you know, you're fasting for a reason, you know?
Well, I mean, if you look at ancient traditions, right? I like to look at the ancient American Indians, the Amerindians, right?
Yeah.
If you look at the traditions, you will notice that when they go into the spiritual realm of getting in touch with the ancestors or getting clarity on a certain dilemma, that they need to be in a certain spiritual or energetic level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So from my understanding and reading of it, if we fast and we really go into this zone and to connect with the higher being, you know. But then there's some religions that believe that it's a sacrifice, you know what I mean? It helps with your praying and what you need to achieve.
Yes
spiritual.
So true. So I guess like what I was saying early on, you shock your body into subjection to some other reason, and then you probably add some sort of cleansing taint as you go along.
So Chef Spencer, I assume you cook. What kind of food do you cook?
I cook anything. I mean, I try to stay on the healthy side, but Lord, that is not always conducive.
So let's say you cook a nice Sunday meal, right? And the macaroni pie and the callaloo and the stewed chicken and the pilau.
Gosh, you know, you went all out. Yeah, real grease on that pot that Sunday, boy. Wow.
right. And then you get some ethnic fatigue, right?
Yeah.
They eat everything, right? So sometimes the next day, you don't tell yourself, I think I need to have some gastric rest. So it's basically that you feel the need for your digestive system to take a little break.
Yeah.
So you might have overloaded it with all the fats and all the oils and all the carbohydrates, complex and simple. Everything you gave it in one blow.
So that's that basically could be like a fast? I mean, when you just say something.
You just say, look, I ain't eating for the next 12 hours, I can give my body a gastric rest. You understand? That in itself is a fast. You only drink water.
Oh, boy. I was fasting all along. I thought I needed to be just drop on my hands and knees and you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, man.
I mean, you know, from a medical standpoint, it's important to understand that we may not advocate for fasting as a means of weight loss. We do see that it can jumpstart or change up the rhythm of your digestion and your metabolism. But we would prefer that it's more of looking at the quality of foods that you put into your body, how you eat it, how you combine the foods. You understand?
Yeah.
For weight and for overall health and well-being.
So next question. Two questions. If you're going on a long fast and you're coming off from this fast, you could just start to eat just like that, or do it have a process at the end, your intake? And the second question is, do you have a particular type of food, like when you're fasting and you break your fast, you're supposed to eat and stuff like that?
So it depends on what you're fasting for. So let's not go into the spiritual aspect of it. Let's just deal with intermittent fasting and so forth. So generally, when you're coming out of the fast, you should start with maybe some warm water. You can have a little bit of, you know, Like I like to recommend that people have a cup of dal. You understand?
Yeah.
And because you don't want to just go into a heavy set of food. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, some intermittent fasting procedures will definitely direct you on. You've come out of the fast, have a glass of warm water, have maybe a cup of dal, a cup of tea, prepare the metabolic system for the food, prepare the stomach for the food, and then have your meal. You understand? So you don't just throw like a whole ton of cold ice cream down after you're fasting. You understand? You're going to take warm, nourishing, detoxing foods as well when you're coming out of the fast.
Really,
because you remember, it's like cleanse as well, right? Because your body then clearing up. You know, I just want you to picture it. Although that's not what will happen, one thing, you're going to have your bodily functions moving. The body basically has no food going in. So the body is looking for the food stores, the energy stores. It's trying to reset and get all these systems working together holistically and synergistically. And therefore, it's almost like a slight detox. You understand?
Yeah.
And then you start to put, you know, clean foods back in.
Yeah.
Beautiful. We'd like to welcome our callers. My name is Base, the moderator here, Dr. of course, LeBlanc. 627-3223, 625-2257. And of course, you could send your WhatsApp messages to 306-1065. Of course, we're talking about, you know, fasting, you know, not in a religious sense, but just for your own wealth and health, well-being. Is it a good way, Doctor, like I was talking to Chef early on, you know, back in the days when we were younger, your parents would say, you know, take a purge, you know. Is that a good way to just cleanse your body? A good cleansing.
You know, I did an article on that once, you know. Mm-hmm. When back in the day, your grandmother before school starts, she say you need a purge.
Yeah.
A salt purge, a senna purge, and you're looking at a senna pot and you're running it. So the thing is that you can actually detox and cleanse your body without having this huge purging action and sitting on the toilet bowl all day.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So there are foods that you can have that will cleanse, cool, and detoxify the blood.
Yeah, yeah. And what that sounds like a really, really good idea because nobody wants.
I tend to like to do that from time to time. I mean, sometimes you can, you know, you just...
Well, we do have to break, folks, at the sorry for the rest of the break a little bit for the 5 p.m. news, and then we will come right back, okay?
So that's yeah. Okay.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
All right, so we're back at it, folks. Of course, Tasty Tuesdays, we have on the line, of course, Dr. Asante LeBlanc, as we talk about fasting. Yeah, so we were talking about the purge before we go on. Is it a good way to cleanse and purge your body? Fasting, that is.
Well, no, I was saying that, yes, fasting is a good way to reset, give a reset. You know what I mean? But I want our listeners or your listeners to understand that before you fast, now fasting is not for everyone. And before you fast, it's important to speak to a professional because you need to know, for example, you can't fast if you're going into, let's say, a heavy set of workload, which involves strenuous work. You know what I mean? And you've never fasted before. Because that could cause problems. So you want to make sure, but definitely if you want to feel detox or you want to just give your body a break for a day or two, fasting is a way to do it. You can also look into longer fasts and looking at how you do it, but it's not something that I would recommend that you do for life. Like you can't fast life. You know what I mean? You have to be at a certain point, you have to eat regularly.
And have a lot of health benefits in it.
Yes, I mean, research is showing more and more that there are health benefits, but that doesn't mean that everyone has to fast for the similar health benefits, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't know if any of you have ever fasted. Have you ever fasted?
Yes, I fasted already.
And how did you feel?
I felt good, actually. It felt good, but when I was a little younger, but since I got older, I haven't, so, you know, but...
Yeah,
I kind of scared to fast now. I don't know why I'm feeling, but you made it sound so simple. You could just, you know, you could start tonight.
No. Prepare yourself, eh? Yeah. Because you want to make sure you know how your body feels on it, especially if you have to work tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
So it's all start like when you're home so that you understand how your body feels, what you felt,
so,
you know.
So could I fast from like 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. when I'm sleeping? You know, just...
Well, we all... And then...
Yeah, man. Why is it so important, Dr. Fast, before like you take a blood test? They tell you, like, just drink water from 6 p.m. until the... And don't have anything the next day. Why is it so important to do that?
Because we want to get an accurate picture. So it allows us to see exactly how your body is metabolizing, yeah, especially for glucose testing, fasting blood sugars, for your cholesterol. Because what happens is we get to see that there was no food put in immediately. Because if you eat, the minute you eat, your body starts to metabolize that food and your glucose will spike. And then your glucose has to be metabolized in your body to be stored, to be used, and then the glucose levels in your blood will go down. So we want to see, after everything has happened, you've digested and everything, what is your steady state fasting blood sugar? So that we can tell you, are you diabetic? Are you showing impaired fasting glucose levels? Or are you okay?
All right. Well, we understand the doc has to leave us now. Well, that's what we were told, you know, but if you want to stay, you could stay. But we were told that you have to leave.
Well, the doc was told 20 minutes and the doc has some children to drop off.
Oh, okay. My. No, well, we thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Doc.
We appreciate your time.
No, it's been a pleasure. I'm actually pleasantly surprised. I really appreciate this and I hope it helped our listeners, at least your listeners. And I hope everyone understands. Have a happy Easter. And don't be afraid. Like, try it on the weekend and let me know how it goes.
Yes, definitely, definitely. I'm going to really fast like 8 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Chef Spencer, you need to do better than
I know, I know. I'm just teasing.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And have a great one, guys. Yeah. And be safe.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. All right, bye. So that was our Dr. Santé LeBlanc talking about, you know, fast in there, folks, right?
Yeah, she made the song real simple and easy, boy.
Yeah, I did a fast recently, of course, you know. Otherwise, too, you should, you know, lose some weight. Like I said, even cutting out certain foods, you know, cutting out cheese, like, for example, you might cook with a lot of cheese, cutting out flour, you know, and we are Trinbagoans, like the doctor always said, that 70% of our population is diabetic.
Yeah, boy.
We're eating ourselves to death.
Our food are really, really rich in flavor.
That's what I'm telling you. Sometimes when I cook, people might find around me that they've got all this food tasting. So you think you're cooking like the Caucasian people in America. They're no season. But I am cooking healthy. I am not going to be cooking with a set of salt.
Yeah, but who say cooking healthy doesn't have to taste good?
No, it tastes good. It might not taste good to them.
To them.
Because they wanted salt. Oh, this thing will do more salt. Let me bring more salt.
More salt and more sugar
and more this and more that. You know, but I am not going to be cooking with a set of salt.
You know, when you're younger and people talking about more salt and they used to think there's old people.
Now
we became the old people, right?
Yeah,
looking at your salted dick.
Not me, another toddler. I don't want to get high blood pressure, diabetes thing, and end up in the hospital. Not me.
Yeah.
Right? So I cut along and that. I learned to cut down and that from now. Yeah. I said, like the drinks, things you drink, I don't drink alcohol. You know, soft drinks and all these things. Look what I'm drinking right now. You see, water.
Big bottle of water.
Drink water.
Yeah, real advocate for this, boy. Really good, man.
You have to be healthy, and it's a lifestyle change.
It's good that you take a real conscious approach to it, because not a lot of people take it that serious, and we're just eating nilly-willy across the board.
But you know what's making it hard, too? Sometimes you might want to do it, but you're in a family and home around you and stuff, and you don't have that support.
Yeah,
imagine you want to fast and stop eating a set of things, and everybody around you bringing a set of, you know, meat and chicken and fast food and all these kind of things.
Yeah.
You know, that don't help.
Well, that's why I asked the question, that it's like starving yourself or putting yourself under that kind of mental pressure that will cause fasting. Once you see, you make up your mind, you see.
Yeah, it's a mind thing.
And food is one of the main thing that fasting, because you're staying away from food, but your body need it, your mind need it.
Yeah.
So once you could bring that and say, you know what, I ain't gonna need for, let's say, 6 hours or whatever, and you make up your mind, and the next 2 hours, you know, you're hungry, you're looking to
just try. But it's really a mind over matter. If you conquer that, trust me, you could conquer anything. It could do a lot for you.
Yeah, because I was looking up some of the longest people who fasted, and boy, I was surprised to see a lot of people fasted for some really, really long time. Some people made that, boy.
Yeah, boy, right? So we're going to talk about some traditional Easter menus. Some things for Easter. Of course, everybody right now will be running down the hot cross buns.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, the hot cross buns.
You must have that hot cross, but hot cross buns is like money.
Hot
right
cross
now.
Buns is important, boy.
Yeah, you know, I'm not having any of that. I cut out flour.
You cut out flour totally, boy.
I cut out flour, boy.
It's not as how you gonna say it, as popular as it used to be.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was growing up, you know, that hot cross buns.
Yeah, now my mom, well, she's deceased now because she passed last February and stuff. Every Easter month, I said that hot cross buns and giving out a neighbors,
you know,
and this one.
You
and
know,
that
make
one.
Me just regret. Remember? You remember the bubbly?
The bubbly, yeah, beating the bubbly, yeah.
I just remember that, yeah. What that was about?
Easter tradition. It was Easter tradition, yeah.
And you dress it up, and you beat this dummy.
Yeah, boy, the bubbly thing, but you know.
Yeah.
But what's a nice meal for Easter?
Well, boy, Easter come like a Christmas, you know, when you really think about it, because it's for Trinidadians, we are accustomed celebrating Easter and Christmas. To me, is the most two
right.
biggest.
Yeah,
biggest,
but once you're Christian,
And most people, I mean, I want to go down the traditional way and say you're gonna cook a pie, obviously a pie.
Right, right,
but
yeah.
You know, every training house
has to have
a pie.
Yeah, something different. Man.
Yeah, yeah. So I ain't going down. I go give you. One of the things that I decided to do one at a time, I'm not using, but like for potato salad, I don't use regular potato. I use sweet potato and plantains again. A lot of celery in that.
Right. I love celery. I eat celery just so.
Yeah. Wow. The local celery or the foreign celery?
I think it would be the foreign one.
Foreign one. Yeah. The foreign one is the bigger
nice
stock.
Bigger and crunchy.
Yeah.
I see that just so. But
yeah. Well, you're really healthy, man.
I'm telling you.
So I use for my potato salad. I use sweet potato and plantains.
Let's try that. Sweet potato and plantain salad.
And add a little mustard to it.
Me and my woman has always argue about that. She say, who can make this salad without mustard? I have never done that.
So because you never done it, which means somebody haven't done it.
But what she tell me, it
doesn't taste that. Yeah, you
don't
follow mustard.
I don't put no mustard in my salad.
Yeah,
boy,
failure, boy. You must follow mustard, man.
You see, follow mustard.
Because the mustard, there's a uniqueness to when you add a little mustard to your meal.
Mustard with that mayonnaise.
Yeah, you must. Probably you take so much time and you didn't say recognize it.
Nah, I don't make that at all, boy.
Yes, boy,
But I never do that, boy. And I grew up not seeing my mother or anybody in my family doing that, you know.
You sound like the other day with me and Dave, we had a big thing going on with condensed milk and bread.
Yeah.
So you sound like you never had mustard in your meal.
You must put a little mustard. As a chef,
it is really give it a nice
mustard, acidic mustard, boy.
So you just basic mayo,
the mayonnaise, a little black pepper. I'll put some oregano, thing in it, but that's good enough for me. Mustard, okay.
Yeah, man, yeah.
Right. So back to the Easter meal.
Yeah, so then I will give you one of our whole tradition that from my home, my mom would make baked chicken, but she would baste the chicken usually in a mixture of mayo and ketchup.
Okay.
And a lot of green seasoning, fine thyme in it.
Right.
So after she season it, salt, pepper, garlic, ginger, pimentos, then she make on the outside a paste with some ketchup and mayo and some sugar and black pepper into that with some fine thyme. And she mix up that, and then baste it the chicken. But the trick about this chicken, you had to put it in the oven and out the oven about 5 times. So you keep putting it in, you baste it.
Okay.
Then you cook all of it. You take it back out. And you put it back in, you baste it again, and then you put it back in again, and you take it out.
Boy.
It's plenty of work, but boy, that chicken it tastes real good because the ketchup and the mustard is keep the moistness inside the chicken.
No, you hear that? No, I have a thing when I say ketchup and mustard, it's PNM and UNC.
Oh, God.
Ketchup and mustard does keep the moisture inside. Start work together.
Oh, God.
If ketchup and mustard work together, how nice the chicken Trinidad and Tobago will be. Ah, boy. You just prove my point there, boy. Way, boy. Because right now, some people, nah, I'm using no mustard. Nah, I'm using no ketchup. But you just eat it. But if they work together, they'll come real good, boy.
Yeah, man. So you actually used to use that terminology.
Yeah, I brought that to me. Ketchup and mustard.
Yeah,
I'll
walk into that one.
Ketchup and mustard.
Yeah, I feel you.
That's nice with the thing, boy. Yeah, but somebody people saying mustard with mayo, boy.
Yeah, that's
the bubbly represents the Judas who betrayed Jesus. No. In the garden.
Yeah, that's true, you know. Yeah. They really are be Judas, yeah.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. But now, these kids today with no borders at all. Yeah, I even forget about that, you know.
Yeah, if they teach them, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Taking back the confirmation, they but
yeah.
Communion, they. So what about peas? What about, so you talk about the chicken, you talk about the...
I'm an advocate for, and I will say this, I ain't ashamed to say that, I advocate for black beans.
Black beans,
yeah,
okay.
Not a lot of people know about black beans.
Yeah.
It's not very popular. It started to get a little popular, but it's taking a long time to get it because I have a lot of proteins in that.
Mm.
So black beans, we stew it down with a little molasses. And let me get one. I did it once before that actually I got some bacon.
Mm.
Put some bacon in the pot, right? Cut it up, beat it with some onions and garlic.
Right.
You're cooking on your bacon real crispy.
Mm.
Slow cook.
Yeah.
Then you're chewing your black beans and you cook it with some molasses.
All right.
So you have bacon bits and molasses with some brown sugar and that thing. This tastes really, really good.
Beans. And of course, you know, you boil the beans from scratch. No, canned beans.
Yeah, from scratch.
From scratch. Pressure cooker thing.
Yeah, pressure cooker thing. What do you real?
Real,
authentic
real
thing, yeah.
Yep.
And then now we could always do a Spanish rice.
Oh, Spanish rice, yeah, as I was talking Spanish about. Kureb day, Spanish rice.
Yeah.
Yeah, why is make a Spanish rice?
Spanish rice. So basically I would do is, you boil your rice.
Mm.
I don't like to actually cook it right away. I like to have rice boiled at the side.
Okay.
So you boil your rice, leave it cool down. It could be even be best overnight in the refrigerator because the what tends to happen is the moisture tends to dry out the rice. So when you're cooking it parch better.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're chewing the pot and it's jumping around kind of thing.
Mm.
So I like to cook my rice like that.
Okay.
So garlic, ginger, side pimentos obviously in the pot with a little bit of butter or oil.
Yeah.
Then you add some tomato paste. Mm. I also like to add fresh tomatoes as well.
Okay.
All right. And then you add your rice instead of that in. You probably could have some cut up if you like peas and carrots. I like to use the peas and carrots, the frozen ones.
Yeah.
All right. And yes, add your salt, your pepper, and probably some butter in that, and you stir it up, man. You have that nice red flavor from the tomatoes.
Yeah.
You have all the flavors coming out from the fresh ingredients, the pimentos,
so
the garlic.
So it's paste tomato paste, get that kind of reddish color.
Yeah, that kind of reddish color.
Yeah,
and
then
use some fresh tomatoes in that, yeah.
All right. Somebody say curry black beans with a hint of coconut milk.
Oh, good. That's something good, boy. Curry black beans, that different.
Yeah, boy.
Curry black beans. You know, if you're afraid to try it, you know, I'll go try it.
Yeah, why not curry black? If you go to curry channel, you could have curry black beans, man.
Yeah,
curry
that
black
might be
beans,
good.
Boy. Yeah, boy.
That's a good thing. I made a black beans patty.
Mm.
So again, black beans chopped up. Actually, I use the one in the can.
Yeah.
All right, strain it a little bit.
Mm.
Then I'll cut up some garlic, pimentos, siphon and stuff.
Okay.
Then add, here I go again, using plantains and sweet potato to bind it together.
Ah.
Right, so you put everything together with some fresh herbs and some salt and pepper, a little sugar in there.
Right.
And you make it into a nice patty.
Nice.
And what I did in order to grill it, I add some cornstarch and cayenne pepper and then you grill it. It was banging.
Nice boy. I love a sweet potato, you know.
Yeah.
How come sometimes food that is left over, you put it in the fridge and eat it the next day, how come it tastes better than when the food was originally cooked the first day? By
because sometimes I recognize sometimes when you cook while cooking, there's certain times you have to add ingredients in order to bring all the freshness or the flavor of it.
Mm.
So there's a difference if you add the ingredients before when the pot now go on to the end, when you're adding it at the end.
Yeah.
So sometimes I feel what happens, the food come, it cool down, you put it in the fridge, all them ingredients real marinate, and then you pull it back out now and you heat it up.
Yeah.
And you heat it up and you're tasting about it. Food tasting better. So, boy.
Yeah, boy. Yeah.
Pilau is one of them things, boy.
Yeah, boy. 6273323625 2257 man. We're talking with the chef here, man. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, chef.
Hey, good afternoon.
When my father say I know come from the garden, but I know when I went to the plant that it's on hot.
Yeah, boy.
When my father Davy.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, Davy ain't working today. Take your day off.
Baby chef, take it home, boy.
I'm going to accept the bowl full. Chef.
Yes, sir.
The RIA. Yeah, who requested the Wednesday meeting, chef to come and cook in house? You took up the challenge?
No, I haven't took up the challenge yet.
Why, wife? Maybe chutney or what?
Not as yet. I haven't took up the challenge. Yeah, but I will.
All right, well, I ain't gonna say much because there's how plenty PNM people are wrong in disguise. Don't let anyone to start.
Well, oh, you watch my yen yenny man say ketchup and mustard make his grandmother think chicken tastes real good, boy. Ketchup and mustard together, working together, mix up together. Right? Yeah, man, always stop that. Stop the division. Ketchup and mustard working together, boy. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, chef.
Hey, hi.
I must have provision and salmon and steamed vegetables. Good Friday.
Good Friday. Yeah, boy. But that's Good Friday. We're talking about Easter Sunday. Yeah, go ahead.
But for Easter Sunday, mm-hmm. we'll be having corn pie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Baked fish.
Mm-hmm.
And stewed pigeon peas, because we have peas in our garden.
Okay, nice one.
Okay.
Picking them peas.
Will you pick fresh coconut peas?
Sorry?
Fresh coconut peas, eh?
Yes.
And you're not using the powder, you're not using, I hope you're using fresh coconut milk.
Coconut milk, yes, that you make.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't like powder stuff.
No powder thing,
right? Yeah, yeah, powder is failure right now, yeah, fresh.
I don't like no powder stuff and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Fake things.
That we're talking about,
I like the real thing.
The real thing, real deal.
Take care.
Yeah, thank you.
What about seasoning? You make your seasoning from scratch, fresh seasoning.
Me?
Seasoning?
Yeah. I make my seasoning from scratch. Well, seasoning is one of the main important things. If you doesn't have a proper foundation.
Yeah.
You understand? But the trick about it is sometimes you might think is the seasoning to it. Sometimes there's some trick that you do really have to season stuff a lot.
Okay, okay.
To get all the authenticness. Like, let me say, for instance, fish and seafood. Mm. There are certain, we West Indian, we just green on everything. I just call it green on or grilled green season. Yeah, but certain fish, you can't really do that because you need to taste
it. Take away that flavor.
Yeah, take away the flavor. You want to taste. For instance, you have had calamari.
Yeah.
Right, so you don't really
but
get...
But it's about bitter kind of taste.
Bitter, how you had it? Yeah, it kind of got it fried. It wouldn't taste the bitterness, right? So fried, so, but that is one of the things you don't really season down too much. A little salt and pepper and a little, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're good to go.
Yeah.
So it has plenty of lobster too. You don't really season down lobster. It's a delicate type meat. So you would take your time and just slightly flavor it. But again, seasoning is one of the major things because there are certain like red meat. You have to season down your red meat once you're cooking red meat.
Yeah, boy.
You know, chicken doesn't take that much of seasoning. So I don't know what to season.
Yeah, boy. All right, so we say we're going to share an exciting and healthy and simple recipe, pumpkin salsa salad. You know what I mean? Pumpkin, the price of pumpkin does go up and down. But right now the price nice.
Yeah.
So let me talk about this pumpkin salsa salad.
Yeah, man.
Right, so let me tell you how we're going into the recipe.
Yeah.
Right, so it's a one pong of rice firm local pumpkin.
Yeah, you
finely
wanna,
diced.
Yeah, you want to get the pumpkin. You know, sometimes it's them young like clear. You want to get a pumpkin that like nice, bright and yellow.
Okay.
Looking good, full. Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's what you're looking for your pumpkin. Right, one medium red onion, finely diced.
Yeah, and when you're cutting your onion, you want to cut off the two face sides. Then you cut it to the center and put the flat side down.
Yeah.
Because you don't want your onion to be rolling around
be a red onion.
Yeah, you want to prefer red because the red onion doesn't have as much gas and it isn't as potent. It has a more sweeter flavor to it.
Yeah. Right. Two firm, ripe, medium potatoes, seeds removed and finely diced.
Yeah. So you just want to cut up those potatoes nicely.
Tomatoes.
And take out the seed because the seed tends to make it all mushy.
Yeah.
So you want to take out the seed as best and just cut it, face it and just cut it nice.
Okay. Two long leaves of shadow benny chopped.
You can't go wrong without the shadow benny, the shadow benny just bring all that real authenticness because you remember, this is like you remember when you're making chow home? Right, so you're making chow, but for this, just think about you making a chow.
With pumpkin. Okay. Right, three pimentos, peppers, chopped.
Yeah.
Right?
You're going to chop that small.
Yeah. Chopped garlic, optional. Glad that optional.
Yeah.
I'm not like garlic at all. Chopped garlic, optional. Nice, yeah. Okay. So pinch white pepper. What is pinch?
So
white
a pinch pepper? Is a pinch is just you take a little your fingertips and you just, you know, grab a little pinch.
So it's black pepper and that white pepper.
It's a black pepper. The black pepper is more potent.
Okay.
When you for chefs like us, there are certain times we don't use black pepper. We use the white pepper because you don't want the item to see as though it's seasoned.
Yeah.
So like a piece of fish, expensive fish, I wouldn't use black pepper. I'll use white pepper.
Right. And then they say salt to taste, but I guess it's according to your taste.
Yeah, according to your taste. Yeah,
a teaspoon of honey, boy. What?
Yeah,
okay, my honey. Nice, boy. All right, and 2 teaspoons of cider vinegar.
Yeah, vinegar.
Right, and as we say, 1 tablespoonful of olive oil or edible coconut oil.
Yep.
Place ingredients in a salad bowl and you just mix it together.
Yeah, you just chop up everything already grated and stuff. You mix all that together. I say, remember we talked about it, it's supposed to be like a chow.
Right. So you ain't cooking with the pumpkin?
No, you have pumpkin ain't cooking. Pumpkin going down just so healthy.
Even boiling it by Okay.
Yeah, man, advocating to be healthy.
Raw real deal, boy?
Yeah, raw real deal.
Right,
man.
So you set aside for 15 minutes. To fuse all flavors together, place on a bed of lettuce and enjoy.
Yeah, because you want to set it aside, you want it to really marinate now. So when you're biting to it, all that honey and vinegar and everything. Because pumpkin is really like a blind canvas, you know.
Yeah.
So it really absorbs all that coconut oil, that vinegar, that sugar, that shadow berry, that pimentos.
Yeah.
So it's like a whole melting pot, like just like when you eat it at
all. All right. And of course, it could taste this and more. Mouth-watering meals, right, prepared personally by Chef Sean Spence at his restaurant, Patience and Rush, located at 19 Sackville Street, Midtown, Port of Spain. Right there, boy. Yeah, Patience and Rush. Check that out, people. Check that out. Nice meal. So do you do like catering and stuff, of course?
Yes, we do catering as well.
Yeah, man. So your wedding coming up there. There was some nice fancy meal, some pumpkin salad and thing, you know. Check out the chef, man. Yeah. Hello, good afternoon,
chef.
Sir. Yeah.
Hey. I have real confidence in you, I want to get a big contract for you. when Balaji House opened and they had a fest, you get a contract to skater, right?
Lord,
check
your
partner right next door to the bullet salary.
Who?
Right? He gonna link you up.
Hey, so why can't get a mustard contract? Hey, man, why everything, boy? Everything.
You're not man to have beef, boy.
Ketchup and mustard, boy. Come now, man. Yeah,
man.
Something. Somebody said, I'm a working woman and powder coconut milk works for me. Plus, one coconut is $10 and one pack of powder is not only
$6. Only $6.
It's just the same because it's dehydrated coconut.
Well, you know, old tricks that sometimes you do yourself, you need to use the pack of coconut milk. Sometimes in restaurants, when you see more water, more than flour, you throw a pack of carnation milk in it.
Okay.
It works just the same. Powdered milk, it uses just the same. So if you don't have it, you don't have to, you know.
But
the reason why I said fresh is because she had fresh green pigeon peas.
Fresh on top of fresh, man.
Yeah, man, you can't go and chew. I think we kind of forget what freshness is about, you know.
This society right now, nobody in picking peas no more.
It's a different when you eat a pilau with fresh pigeon peas and coconut milk. There's a whole different pot, you know. The oil is settled to the bottom of
it's
the pot.
It's a different taste.
And when you taste that bun,
But eating that down to the, like I said, the bun, everything.
Yeah, everything going
different
down.
Different kind of piece of that pillow.
Yeah. So that freshness is real good because I try not to use the powdered stuff. Honestly, I try.
Yeah,
I hate to see it. Because one of the things I kind of pride myself in, even with garlic, I take my time to even peel my garlic.
Yeah.
So I take pleasure in certain things, cutting up your pimentos in a certain way.
I see you know, taking pride in what you're doing. That some people ain't going through that.
Yeah, well, I know that, boy. But
time is money. You know what I mean? So if you had that, like I said, I did start for the pandemic and stuff. I say, I'll come with the idea. I say, well, since the place locked down, people can't go for lunch nowhere and things. I said, let me sell a little food. But the preparation.
Yeah.
The preparation is what hard, but I say I do that for about 3 days, but I say
three days.
You laugh. 3 days. I can't do this again, boy.
Yeah. I don't want to laugh at you, dog.
Not 3 weeks.
No,
that's
a who's that?
3 days.
You don't put anybody money behind this. Any
of
thoughts?
Course. I sell out and think my pillow sell out. It tastes real good based on cooking again. I say done, boy. Too much work, boy. but I'm telling you, real work, boy. Hello.
Chef, you know, the freshness is good.
Yeah.
And it keeps the family together. We sit and we
oh, we sit and talk and pick.
We sit and we
oh
yeah, dice thing pa family.
We sell the peas.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we put it away in the freezer.
Ah.
Oh,
right?
Nice.
So, and that is very good.
Yeah. That was
we're talking about.
Yeah, that was a real long
time. That's a real long time family thing. Yeah, you
wouldn't get family. Still keep that tradition.
So you get any young people to sit down and pick and shell peas?
No, but we do it.
Okay.
Oh,
we do it. Yeah. And we keeping that tradition. As long as we have peas, we sit it on the shelf. We give some away to the neighbor, and they do the same.
Real nice. Country thing, mate.
Okay.
You might get time to pick the peas.
Yeah. No, but those things, like just the other day I mentioned making ice cream. Even me and my buddy,
That was nice.
Times
back then.
Family, boy. You know, we're missing them. Yeah. You know them thing again?
Yeah.
Them thing again, mother cooking, father outside drinking rum. The children upstairs in the room, lock up on the phone. Yeah. I went food down, everybody in separate parts of the house going and eat. Oh, we don't have family time again.
Well, you see, sometimes as a family, sometimes in the families have to really want to keep it together.
That's right.
Somebody's have to really be the grounded person to say, you know what?
This is what we're doing.
This is what we're doing. Because if not, everybody will go their way. Yeah. And it's after years pass, then you look back and you reflect. There are certain little times, a little moment. Ooh, I really miss that.
But I believe on a Sunday, you must have your Sunday meal, sit down at the table as a family.
As a family.
If a family say that, you see, Sunday, we must sit down. We could eat all separate times all during the week. But you see, Sunday, we have to sit down on a Sunday and eat, boy.
But why a Sunday? So if you can't make it on a Sunday now?
Why Sunday is the day? But everybody working on Saturday, my dad.
But that's what I'm saying, because remember, it's busy lifestyle now. So everybody.
We're living together. Everybody living together. What are you going to do on a Sunday, boy? You're wicked, huh? boy, Sunday is the day.
So in your house, Sunday is the day.
Sunday is family day.
Yeah,
you sit down and eat it on a Sunday, right? I don't want to hear nothing. Like Sunday.
Yeah, that's in your house on Sunday.
I tell you, that's the day.
Yeah, that's important in Chita.
Yeah,
that's really, really important because the way our society going and the way how life is going, that it's so sure that they know. Food is one of the things that actually bring families and people together.
You bring food a long time, watch my food, you have a little music. After you're watching a little Indian variety or the Indian movie and thing, you know, on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And later on, come bring the family back, man. Family values back together.
We're really, really missing that.
Like you say, food is a way to bring the family together. You know, food. Even help and cook. Come and help me cook. What are you doing upstairs on the phone? Come and help me cook. Let me chop up something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and food is one of the things so that when family members come together, everybody always have a favorite recipe, a favorite this, a favorite that, and it's always a conversational starter.
That's right.
You know, so on one of our shows we were talking about, food is one of the things that tickles all your senses, and it could be the sixth sense as well because it tickles everything.
Yeah.
So once you see you get a good dish and a good meal, you can remember that. If you get something bad as well,
you remember it too. You know, I woke up stomach, remember it too. But food is a good thing, man. Bring the family back with food, you know, especially food expensive. Now make sure you cook good, right? And teach your children how to cook, especially your boys and thing too, you know. But Chef, it was nice, you know.
Yeah, man, good to be here, buddy.
All right, so thank you very much. We had a nice session there with the doctor talking about fasting, and of course, we'll check out your business day, buddy. Patience, boy. Sackville Street.
Yeah, 90 Sackville Street. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a great and healthy weekend.
Yes, man. Beautiful.
Awesome.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.